scathing sermon. It was directed toward the Pharisees and their man-made takeover of Judaism. He begins with the explanation in chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, of their false concepts of righteousness in verses 2 and 3, and ministry in verse 4, and their own personal greatness in verses 5 through 12. He not only starts with an explanation, but then he has a denunciation, verses 13 through 36. He denounces them with 8 woes upon the Pharisees, a fascinating study. And by the way, Jesus didn't pull any punches in this sermon. He was a preacher. Amen. He was a preacher. He didn't say they were nice. He called them vipers. He called them snakes. He called them hypocrites. He called them what they were. Then in verses 37 through 39, you find Jesus' lamentation. See, this was a place, Jerusalem, that Jesus loved. This was a people that Jesus loved. He was patient and He kept inviting them to come to Him that they might be saved. And the city, they refused, and He knew that the city was going to be completely decimated by a Roman general named Titus in 70 AD. Ladies and gentlemen, the founding in history of America, this land that I and this land that you love, is that of a Christian nation. Someone has well said, Columbus came to America looking for gold, while the pilgrims came to America to glorify God. The Mayflower Compact, November 11, 1620. Let me read you a portion of it. And by the way, a lot of these documents are available for those of you that have people that would try to persuade you that America is a secular nation. She is not. She is not. She is a deeply religious republic. Is she becoming more secular? Of course. Mayflower Compact, November 11, 1620. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country a voyage to plant the first colony in northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, by the virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet with the convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, that little voyage on that boat called the Mayflower. This is something that will amaze you. I lived in the state of Connecticut. The Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, January 14, 1639. For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God by the wise disposition of His divine providence, so to order and dispose of things that we, the inhabitants and residents of Windsor, Hartford, and Wethersfield, are now cohabitating and dwelling upon the river of Connecticut and the lands thereunto adjoining, and well knowing where a people are gathered together, the Word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of such a people, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God. To order and to dispose of the affairs of the people at all seasons shall require. Do therefore associate and conjoin ourselves to be as one public state or commonwealth, and do for ourselves and our successors, and such as be adjoined to us any time hereafter, enter into combination and confederation together to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we now profess, as also the discipline of the churches, which according to the truth of the gospel is now practiced amongst us. Harvard University, Rules and Precepts, 1646. Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And therefore, to lay Christ in the bottom as only the foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of him. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the Scriptures twice a day, that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein, both in theological observations of language and logic, and in practical and spiritual truth, as his tutor, with a capital T, as his tutor, shall require, according to his ability, seeing the entrance of the word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119:130. The Harvard University motto, 1692, Veritas Christo et Ecclesiae, which is transferred from Latin, means truth for Christ and the church. Our Declaration of Independence, 1776, July 4th, the preamble reads, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to a separation. Text reads, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Final sentence reads, and for the support of this declaration, and with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, a capital P meaning God, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution, Amendment 1, December 15, 1791. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. U.S. Supreme Court Case 143, February 29, 1892, Opinion of Justice Brewer. We pass beyond these matters to a view of American life as expressed by its laws, its business, its customs, its society. We find everywhere clear recognition of the same truth. Among other matters, note the following, the form of oath universally prevailing, concluding with an appeal to the Almighty. The custom of opening sessions of all deliberative bodies and most conventions with prayer. The prefatory words of all wills, in the name of God, amen. Oh. The gigantic missionary associations with general support and aiming to establish Christian missions in every quarter of the globe, these and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a Christian nation. From U.S. currency to government buildings, there are a myriad of what is an inextricable link between the U.S. government and God. The Lincoln Memorial at one end of the nation's capital includes President Lincoln's second inaugural address, which makes six references to God in the 700 words, shorter than an average news article. Also in the memorial is a quotation from the Gettysburg Address in which Lincoln said, "This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." The Washington Monument includes a Bible in its cornerstone. The Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments inscribed in four places. The Library of Congress, White House, Jefferson Memorial all have references to God. Like Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus has wooed and continues to woo America like little chicks to come back to Him, to come back to His Word, to come back to His righteousness, to come back to His holiness like a mother hen. And the answer of America has been heard loud and clear. Ye would not. In the Psalms, we find a very interesting contrast of nations. Blessed and cursed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Psalm 33:12 tells us. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. We read in our text, Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? As we read on in that passage, they say this, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. In the last 50 years, the wicked, godless portion of America has done just that. They've said, we don't need the bands of God. We don't need that old black book. We're fine. They've cast their cords asunder and they break in their bands. And it really all boils down to this, ladies and gentlemen, like all sin does, but especially in those who would try to dethrone God, who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you? By the way, when you sin, that's what you say. Who are you to tell me what to do? And I want to tell you, America at large is saying, who are you, God, to place these bands and cords upon? By the way, it is impossible to rightly govern without the Bible and religion. This government was for a religious people. People that looked at this book as its highest authority. You know, the citizen who will take this book as their highest authority never has any trouble with the laws. How this terrible takeover is taking place in our nation. How is it? Because the people imagine a vain thing. The people imagine a vain thing. Merrill Unger said of that word imagine, it means to meditate, to devise a vain thing, namely an intense plan to banish the name of God. How is it happening? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a famine in our land. Not a famine of bread or of water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. So many churches are compromising. So many preachers are just preaching for a paycheck. Listen, God help me. I'm so glad you folks take good care of me, but God help me the day I preach for a paycheck. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'll preach with my resignation right in here before I'll ever preach for a paycheck. We preach because God says so. And He said to lift up your voice as a trumpet. Know how we need preachers that'll do that. Jeremiah 9:5 says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Can I say this? The removal of truth spawns lies. It has to. Just as the removal of light spawns darkness. Vladimir Lenin, the Russian revolutionary, said this, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. Adolf Hitler said this, make the lie big, make it simple. Keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. I want to give you, if I could, seven vain imaginations tonight, or seven lies that we are being told in America, that my children will be told, that your children will be told, that your grandchildren are being told right now. Seven of them. And I promise I won't be long. I'm aware of the time. The first one is, number one is, morality does not need religion. I use that term religion in general. Just like the old time religion. The old time religion. Amen. That's what I mean. I'm talking about walking with God. I'm talking about what the Bible says. They will say, we can be moral without religion. Let us break their bands asunder. And can I say this? Ladies and gentlemen, a holy God is the basis for morality. This book is the foundation of morality. See, what I want to ask these people, and by the way, I want to engage them, Brother Hendershot. I want to talk to them. I don't want to yell at them and scream at them and get into the shouting match. It's not profitable, amen? I want to stand my ground, have a firm stand and a sweet spirit. You know what I want to say? To try to reason with them. What's your criteria for your morality? See, because I remember a few years ago a woman named Susan Smith. She drowned her children in a lake because, Brother Horst, she said she loved them. See, you know what we get in America when we remove that book and we remove religious life? We get every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And as I have debated with many a people, do you like that Judeo-Christian ethic where it says, thou shalt not kill, but you don't like the one that says, thou shalt not commit adultery? Hey, listen, they go together. Amen. They will tell us one of these great vain imaginations is that morality does not need religion. Ladies and gentlemen, there is none other sure foundation which we can stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number two, the vain imagination. A lie that they've told often. And many people have swallowed it. Hook, line, sinker, fishing pole, and boat. Life came about by some cosmic accident. Life came about by some cosmic accident. By the way, it is no accident that every despotic dictator that has ever ruled believes the theories of Darwin's survival of the fittest and uses it as a justification to eliminate people from off the earth. You see, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Hitler, Pol Pot, Tojo, this theory leads to a master race and absolutely nothing about life or death. And again, you know what it really is? It's an assault on the authority of God. Because ladies and gentlemen, the very first sentence in your Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You mean to tell me that you believe a watch could exist without a watchmaker? No, you don't. No, you don't. No, they don't. Of course not. They'd say that's utter foolishness. Listen, the human body is the greatest, greatest, greatest evidence that God is the creator. Yet they will not believe it. Why? Because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Morality can exist without religion. Life came about by some cosmic accident. By the way, if life came about by some cosmic accident, guess you don't have to give an account to God at the end of your life. Why people do what they do. Number three. A vain imagination that's being pushed in our country is whatever's legal is moral. Whatever's legal is moral. See, I still stand by what old Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know why I will never, 58 nevers, vote for a candidate that advocates the killing of the unborn? Because God says it's wrong. Why I will never vote for a candidate that says the lifestyle of the sodomites is acceptable? Because God says it's wrong. And this crowd that says, well, as long as it's legal, it's moral. Can I tell you this? Killing Christians in the Colosseum in Rome was legal. Killing Jews in Germany and Poland during World War II was legal. Nothing moral about that. Killing babies in our country may be legal, but it'll be a cold day downstairs where it's ever moral. I listen to Supreme Court cases as my want and hobby to do, and it helps me. It really does. It helps me to be able to frame arguments and things like that. But I was listening to one Planned Parenthood versus Gonzalez 2005 case where the Supreme Court actually reversed a decision on partial birth abortion in the favor of where it should be. Amen. But I was listening to it and I got almost sick to my stomach as they were talking about the dismemberment of the fetus. How they take legs off and arms. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not moral. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. That's not moral. Nothing moral about that. I was there when my two precious babies came out. I can't imagine somebody tearing them limb from limb. That's immoral. Immoral. But we're being sold this bill of goods. We're being sold these vain imaginations. Whatever's legal is moral. Life came about by some cosmic accident. Morality does not need religion. Number four. Shh. You might offend someone. I'm telling you. That right now is so prevalent in our country that people are afraid to speak out. And it has bled into the church. Let me ask you, you don't have to answer out loud. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you shared Jesus Christ with somebody? When? Most people are ashamed when that question is asked. And I'll tell you most of the reason why we're afraid. Listen. I had somebody a couple of weeks ago when I preached on marriage under assault, a couple that had visited us, and they were just thanking the Lord for the stand we as a church took and your preacher took. And I'm grateful that I appreciate hearing those things. Don't worry about me. My head's not going to go like this. I know whom I shave every day. Amen. And, but they were just talking about that and just saying how much they appreciated that and whatnot. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this, folks. It's easy to be bold in here. We're together, amen? Boy, you get out on the street and you talk to somebody. Or you get in a store or you get in a conversation with somebody that has a completely different and hostile opinion. I told Pastor Donald today, the word of the 21st century that they're putting on us is hateful. You're hateful. And so a lot of Christians just button their lip. I don't want to be labeled hateful. You listen, I'd rather be labeled faithful. Shh, you might offend somebody. What's Psalm 107:2? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What is Mark 16:15? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know this book, this gospel's offensive? It's offensive. It offends everybody. It offends the most wretched sinner to that person that lives a good life. It becomes a stumbling block. It's offensive, and we need to still be speaking it. The reason why this nation's going to hell in a handbasket is because Christians are silent. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Shh, you might offend somebody. You might offend God if you keep quiet. Morality doesn't need religion. Life came about by some cosmic accident. Whatever's legal is moral. Shh, you might offend someone. Number five. A fetus is not a person. Yeah, we're being sold that, folks. I've talked to people. I've engaged them. They said it's just a blob of cells. Psalm 139. Blessed scriptures, verse 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Now think about this, folks. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. A little blob of cells is a person. She's just not perfect yet. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. By the way, this fetus is not a person. Ultrasound technology has put that lie to bed. 5 weeks, the eye socket is being formed. 6 weeks, arms and legs are taking shape. 11 weeks, fingers are visible. 13 weeks, the eyes are well developed. 17 weeks, the nails have grown on the fingertips. And by the way, a baby is a completely different person from that woman that is carrying it. How do you know, Pastor? Well, 50% of the time, the sex of the baby is different. Amen? 50% of the time, it's a boy. Huh. Eye color might be blue, brown, green. We have two sons. Eric has both of our eyes. And Lukey has plain, beautiful, deep blue eyes. And neither one of us have them. And I stared at my wife. Hey, you know what that is? That's just God. That's just God. Huh. Blood type. Maybe O, maybe A, maybe B, maybe AB positive, negative. Huh. All that tells us that this is an individual. Well, then they'll change it and say, well, a fetus isn't a person until viability. Viability, the point when an unborn baby could survive outside the womb, by the way, is an arbitrary concept. Why isn't personhood associated with heartbeat, which begins just 21 days after conception, or brainwaves, 43 days after conception, or something else? The actual point of viability constantly changes because it depends on the technology, not the unborn baby. By the way, no baby is viable. No baby is viable. You have birth a baby and put them on there and say, now go ahead and live. By the way, I know teenagers that aren't viable. You know? Mom or dad wasn't there, they'd starve. Amen? Hey, listen, folks. Listen to me. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's not a fetus. That's a stupid term. It's a person. It's a baby. When my wife found out she was expecting, she didn't say, oh, praise the Lord, we're having a fetus. No, she's, you know what she said, Mrs. Holy, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. But they're selling us this bill of goods, folks. And listen, we've got the Holy Spirit. That's why we see it for what it is. Morality doesn't need religion. Oh, by the way, let me read you a quote. Speaking on the subject of fetus is not a person. Number one, whenever we define a pre-viable fetus as a person that is protected by the Equal Protection Clause or other elements of the Constitution, what we're really saying is, in fact, that they are persons that are entitled to the kinds of protections that would be provided to a child. 9-month-old child that was delivered in term. That determination then, essentially, if it was accepted by a court, would forbid abortions to take place. I mean, it would essentially bar abortions because the Equal Protection Clause does not allow somebody to kill a child. And if this is a child, then this would be an anti-abortion statute. State Senator Barack Obama. 2001. A fetus is not a person. Shh, you might offend somebody. Whatever's legal is moral. Life came about by some cosmic accident. Morality does not need religion. The sodomites are just like you and me. That's number six. The sodomites are just like you and me. By the way, that's the Bible term. It's only the Bible term, Brother Bob, in the King James Bible. Why do you think they want to banish this book? Why do you think the devil's been fighting so hard to get rid of this book? Romans chapter 1, verse 26-27, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use, that which is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. By the way, we've talked about it. We won't dwell on this long. The Sodomites are winning the battle of the ideas. And it goes back to the point 2 points ago. Don't want to offend them. Don't want to be called a hater. Don't want to be labeled with that Westboro Baptist Church. And by the way, we're not Westboro Baptist Church. And I can't stand Westboro Baptist Church. Picket military funerals, say God hates America. Their theology is deeply flawed and horribly Calvinistic. Horribly. We're not them. But you know what people say? You say something against the Sodomites. Oh, you're just like them. You're hateful. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to speak up for the Lord before we're not allowed to anymore. Morality does not need religion. Life came about by some cosmic accident. Whatever's legal is moral. You might offend someone. A fetus is not a person. Sodomites are just like you and me. Last one and we'll be done. Pornography is just a harmless adult pleasure. That's what's sold to our people. And there are people, men, women now, even sitting in churches that are absolutely hooked on pornography. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still says in Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. And by the way, it is not harmless. It is not harmless. It harms people's minds. One of the methods that pornography employs is to make every situation that a person could be involved in a pornographic situation. And it twists people's mind because the result ends up in a dirty mind. It harms people's children. Every pornographic picture of a woman was somebody's little girl. And I don't think there's any dad in the world that said, that's what I want my little girl to do. One day she crawled and walked and babbled and carried a teddy bear and hugged and said, I love you, Daddy, and went to church. Smiled with a tooth missing for a picture, and she had a bright future, and now she's got to take prescription pills and drown her sorrows in liquor. Don't tell me it doesn't harm people. You know what else it does? It harms society. Number one reason for incarceration is liquor. Followed very, very closely and usually companion pornography. Sexual offenders, ruined and taken lives. I think of perverse people that steal children and then bury them in a garbage bag when they're done with them. Don't tell me pornography doesn't hurt people. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the vain imaginations that are being propagated all over our land. Through the television, through the radio, through the education system, through thought and idea. And listen, like the song said, it's time for the army of God to arise and say, we want America back. Father,